Good morning. I'm glad to see all of you have made it out of your turkey coma. If you're like me, I actually didn't get into a turkey coma. I think I slept maybe 12 hours this whole weekend. I got to meet my girlfriend's family, and so by that meant tons of questions that I had to answer, which meant I slept very little. If you don't know who I am, my name is Jared. I am the student pastor here at Connect. I started in April, I guess it was. Jay's out of town this weekend. He went to Arkansas to get some rest. So please pray for him as he comes back today. But I'm sure this weekend you had to ask this question. Why can't we all just get along? Right? If you went Black Friday shopping, you seriously probably asked that question. And grace to you. I hope your family is happy. You sacrifice yourself for their gifts. But you probably saw, I don't think this year was as bad as most years, but you definitely saw people who fought over TVs. Best Buy had some really good deals, fought over dumb gifts, fought over children's toys. But if you did that, props to you. We love you all the more for that, okay? But you probably also asked that question at Thanksgiving on the actual day. If you're anything like my family, at some point, you start to cook. Used to, my grandmother would cook every meal. Then as we got older, we started helping so we could learn how to cook. And then as we got older, my grandma didn't want to cook anymore, and the cousins got to cook. Well, my family is very headstrong. All of us have our own ideas. We all learn how to cook the same, but we all have our own style. So as we got older, we would be like, oh, yeah, you're cooking that so good, but you're doing it not my way, and get out of my way, okay? And so I'm sure some of you had those emotions this weekend, whether it be with your sister or with your cousin, whereas, get out of my way, I'm the one cooking. And for me, it turned out great because I was like, you know what, go ahead. I'm going to go watch the Cowboys because I'm lazy. Amen to that. Preach. Did anybody else watch that game? That was awesome. I'm so stoked for this season. Okay. But James, if you want to go ahead and turn to James chapter 4, that's where we're going to be today. He kind of starts off at answering that question. Why can't we all just get along? Because in all honesty, part of the reason we can't get along is because we're in a constant fight. We're fighting for our lives on a daily basis. And James starts this process of explaining what it looks like to fight for your life in chapter 1. And if you haven't read James in a while, I encourage you to go back and read it. Because it explains the Christian life and what it is to look like. What are we to do? What are we not to do? How are we to battle? And so we start off, where does our sin come from? Okay. Verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? And James is writing to believers. And so at this point, they recognize, and we recognize this, as believers, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And James probably had an interesting perspective of this because he's Jesus' brother. And I'm sure him and Jesus had fights and quarrels. And by him and Jesus, I'm sure he fought with Jesus. And Jesus stood there and was like, why are you mad, bro? Okay. Because what are you supposed to do? If something breaks in the house and it's just you two, what are you going to do? It was Jesus' fault? That's not going to work. It wasn't Jesus. Jesus didn't break stuff. Okay? So what causes your passions are at war with you? It is our desires within us. Our sin comes from our own desires. Okay? You desire, verse 2, you desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. I'm sure a lot of us go, well, I ask for stuff all the time, God. I ask for financial help. I ask for peace in my family. I ask for a new house. I ask for a new car. And most of those things are good. I'm not saying those things are bad. We need those things. Everyone needs a car. You need a good education. You need a job. But it goes on to say, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly and you spend it on your passions. You see, because our desire comes from our heart. And we treat, and our heart is where we say our love comes from and where our desires come from. So it's a heart issue, right? Because in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. Obviously, the Pharisees high in the Jewish culture. They know the Old Testament. They know how to be holy. And Jesus tells them, there will be a day when people will stand before me and many will say, God, did I do all these marvelous things in your name? And you'll say, be gone, I never knew you. Because it's a heart issue. You can do good things, but with the wrong motive, it's all reflecting on you. And so, church, we have to ask ourselves, who are we worshiping? Who is in control of our heart? Are we worshiping the creation, or are we worshiping the Creator? Because if you can answer that, and I'll be really honest with y'all, at times, and majority of times, it's I'm worshiping the creation. I'm worshiping me. Because we're human, and it's difficult. Even as believers, as mature believers, there's still this daily struggle. It goes on to say, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Again, who are you worshiping? The creation or the Creator? That's why he calls us adulterous people. This passage is not difficult because of some large theological stance or some large Greek words. This passage is difficult because it's very plain. It attacks who we are. It attacks your natural habits as a human being. Okay? But verse 5, this is the saving grace of this chapter, because this is very difficult for me. Or do you suppose that it is no purpose that the scripture says, he yearns for you jealously over the spirit that he has made us to dwell in us? A minute ago I said, we're fighting for our lives. And we think about war when we hear fight. You go to war because you want to win. And you win so you can have control. That's why it says jealousy. And we typically think of jealousy as a bad thing, right? Adolf Hitler, jealous guy. He just wanted to rule the world, right? But the purpose of kings and presidents is them to yearn jealously over their people so that they'll fight for them and do what's best for them because they love them. A perfect example of that is marriage. And obviously, as married people are supposed to yearn jealously for one another, okay? It would be as if a man said to his wife, sat down next to her, wrapped his arm around her, said, honey, out of all the women I love, which is a bad start, I love you the most. Well, that's probably going to end with a red mark on the side of his face and her walking out and he's going to be alone, right? Because she yearns jealously for her husband. She wants her husband to be hers and hers alone. Church, we're called the bride of Christ. God yearns for you and you alone. He does not want you to have any other gods before him, right? Ten Commandments. The very first one, have no other gods before me. Are we the same way? Are we jealous over God? The answer is yes, we are jealous for God. But let's talk about our heart issue. How are we jealous for God? Do we treat God as a slot machine? Where we hope to get the lucky sevens and a new Mustang in the front yard? Or do we yearn jealously and go, God, teach me your desires? Teach me to be the man that you have called me to be. And yes, it is difficult, very difficult. I'm a pastor. This is my job. My goal, my daily life is a lot of study and a lot of action. It is very difficult. I completely understand that. But that's why I'm calling you to fight. The Bible has called you to fight. This is a war. That's why Jesus goes and dies. This passage is the gospel. He's calling you to be obedient. In verse 6, goes on to say, but he gives more grace. Thank God, because I need it. We all need the more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We fight because God is jealous for you. And we fight because God gives grace to the humble. You have to come to God humbly. Paul says it is better for a man not to understand that he is worth nothing rather than himself be cocky. Don't be arrogant. Because the fact is we have no reason to be arrogant. We are messed up people. We are selfish people. We have our own desires. We have our own strengths. We have our own weaknesses. But without God, who are we really serving? What is the purpose behind all of them? And I want you to understand, God does oppose the proud. Our culture tends to ask for forgiveness and everything's fine. There's zero action behind it. Because we like to give lip service. Because that's all we really need. As long as you have the education, as long as you have the right thing to say, you'll be fine. But God does not want your lip service. In the next few verses, he gives you actions to do so. In verse 7, he says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. So why do we fight, or how do we fight? We fight by submitting ourselves to God. Again, like I said, this takes action. You have to submit. You have to give God everything. And by submitting, you put back your desires. You got to go, this is what I want, but this is not the right thing for you to do. And God is saying, you need to do this. There was 0 point in my life where ministry sounded like a fun job. Okay? Ministry is a difficult job. We talk all the time. Ministry would be really fun without the people because ministry, we still argue. The staff here are like family, so we butt heads like brothers and sisters. We love each other, but we all have our own ideas. We have our own selfish reasons. We have to humble ourselves before God to work together, just as in any other job. Okay? I'll never forget this. I really wanted to be a football coach, and so I was training. I was going to this place, working out, kind of learning. I know I don't look like I work out that hard anymore, but that's okay. It's the turkey, I promise. It's all an illusion. Okay? And I'll never forget this. I was sitting in my brother's room. I just messed up my knee, got a cyst, and tore my meniscus. I was sitting in my brother's room. We were playing video games. And I look at him, and he could tell I was pretty bummed out about my knee, that I had to take a break, and I had to probably kind of change this whole coaching career thing because I felt God calling me, and I just started interning at a church. And he goes, man, Jared, maybe the reason why God tore up your knee is so you stop running, which is a tough pill to swallow because saying, God, this is what I want to do. I can still do ministry and coaching. There's a lot of athletes that need a lot of ministry. If you've been around athletes, most of them are thinking that's the only thing they need to do with their life. That's their goal. That's how they get to college. They don't think any other way. But you know what? God's desire was for me to go into full-time church ministry. And I had to fight that. I had to spend so much time in prayer. I had to seek so many people out. And I really had to fight in order to do that. Now, I love this job, and I'm so glad I get to be here with you and these students, even though they're a little crazy at times and make me pull out my hair. I found a gray hair last week, so that was kind of depressing. Cole, I blame you. But there's so much more joy being in God's will than there is being against it. Because God opposes the proud. And we devote ourselves to God. Devotion is more than going, fine, whatever. Because you can say, it's just like a kid going, all right, Mom, I'll clean my room. That's great. And then you probably just kick everything under your bed and then pull your sheets down a little bit farther so nobody can see it. You're listening. You're obeying, but you're not devoted. You don't do things out of your best. That's what God wants. He does not want your half of your heart. He wants all of it, every piece of you. Every piece. So we devote ourselves, and then we also have to recognize our sin and repent. Like I said, Mango, do not give lip service. You can tell me or Pastor Jay or anybody else on staff how great of a Christian you are, and I teach this class, I lead worship, I don't go out and do this or that. That's wonderful, and on the outside, you look great because I can't read your mind, thankfully, and I'm really glad you can't read mine. Because I'm pretty sure everybody would run out of this room, okay? But God can. Like I said, this weekend we've had turkey. Everyone's super full, probably passed out on Thursday at some point. But we sometimes treat church like Thanksgiving. We become spiritually obese because we just come in and we eat and we eat and we eat and we hear and we listen, which is great. You need to know God's word. You need to have fellowship with fellow believers. You need to continue this trend. We need to raise up our children correctly. And part of that is bringing them here and us getting to vote and see other people encouraging them and get into their lives. But you know what? That's great. But if you never work out, you just become more and more obese because God is wanting, hey, you got to go put this into action. If you're just sedentary, no one will ever know. A football player doesn't just walk on the field one day and go throw a 50-yard touchdown pass. He works at it. If you watched any college football yesterday, there was a play at Penn State-Michigan State game. A guy threw a corner route. I played football long enough, and I've thrown a lot of those passes. You don't just walk out on the field and throw a 35-yard pass into the back corner of the end zone. That takes years to throw that perfectly. It takes years. So don't think you can just walk into the church one day and be prepared to teach. Don't think you can just come in here one day and understand whatever everything God is calling you to do. You got to go home, and you got to study. You got to get out of this place and work out your faith. Because God did not say, I'm here to save all those inside of the church. No, he said, I'm here to save everyone. The Great Commission says, go make disciples of all nations and all people. If you look at Jesus' life, he spent a lot more time with tax collectors, prostitutes, lepers than he ever spent with other believers. You might be thinking, Jerry, this is Thanksgiving. It's supposed to be happy. Why are you talking all depressing? Why are you talking about you need to mourn over your sin? And you do. When's the last time you've ever mourned over your sin? And it's been bothering me all week because I really had to sit there and I had to think hard. And it ate at me. And it ate at me. But here's the blessing, and here's what you can be thankful for. Matthew 5:4, Jesus is on the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. In war, you're going to lose those battles sometime. You're going to struggle. You're going to get bloodied. You're going to get heartbroken. But blessed are those who mourn over their sin, for they will be comforted. This is the gospel. You recognize your sin. You recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord and that without him you are nothing. We baptize you, and that's only the beginning. That is just the beginning of the fruit that we see. That's the seed. You got to water it by studying, by memorizing. You got to strengthen it by putting in action. Connect serves is one of the best ways we do those things. And we get to do that as a group. We get to encourage one another in those moments. Church, are you battling? Are you fighting for your life? Because God sure has fought for you. He lowered himself from his perfection. He was tempted in every single way you are. He understands your pain. He understands your desires. He understands that you have your own will. I can prove that. Jesus watched one of his best friends die, Lazarus. The night before Jesus was crucified, he was on his knees begging God, is there any other way we can do this? Sweating blood. Yet in every situation, he submitted himself to the Father to glorify the Father over himself, to make the Father's name known before his own. And it was all through his actions. He fought in every single way. He produced obedience, which bore the fruit of the gospel. Church, we say these things out of love, even when they're hard. part of my job as a minister is to help your joy be increased, but the only way your joy isn't going to increase is if you follow the gospel and be obedient to God's word. And sometimes that's going to put you and I at odds, because I'm going to be honest with you. And I would hope you'd be honest with me. Trust me, it is painful to be told you are wrong. The thing you're doing is not scriptural. You are not honoring God with your life. Especially when it's somebody that you want to like you, or you want to appreciate you, that you know you want someone to recognize the godliness within you. But church, my opinion matters about that much. Because I'm going to die, and I'm going to be in the same place you are, standing before God, going, I'm unworthy. But through the cross, and through Jesus' action on the cross, through the faith that he's provided for us, through the relationship that he's provided for us, I come before you on my knees in thanksgiving, and we will all be there together. There is no difference between you and I. Church, be obedient. Don't do lip service. Fight your sin. And it even said, if you fight, resist the devil and he will flee. And in that resist, what it's actually meaning is saying you need to get up and move. Please understand, and I know I'm saying this a lot, but you have to be active. This faith is active. We wonder why Christianity has taken a step back in America. It's because we've become silent. And those who aren't being silent, those who are talking a lot, really don't understand what they're saying. There is no difference between nor Jew nor Greek. That's what the Bible says, which is for us is saying there's no difference between color, race, religion. God wants all people to come to him. Go to the Muslim, preach Jesus to them. Go to someone of a different color, preach Jesus to them. Jesus didn't care. He wants you all. God gives grace. If you feel like you have sinned too much, it doesn't matter. God gives more grace. But he does expect obedience. And you start with that by baptism and believer's baptism and coming before him on your knees and professing him as Lord. We will battle with you, church. That's why we're a body. When your ankle is twisted, you can't walk. So when you're in need, we'll be there to help you. But we need you to be obedient, and you need me to be obedient. As a body. As the band comes back up, I'm about to pray. I ask you. Amanda brought the point in Psalms says Selah, which means just take a moment and understand and reflect. And so I ask you now, take that moment just to reflect, to think on what your life is. Is it reflecting God? Is it reflecting a biblical image? Or is it reflecting yourself and your own desires? God, we come before you now, asking for your wisdom. God, we ask for your continued grace in our lives. We ask you that you, Holy Spirit, will come down for us, Father, that you will come and lead us and correct us. Come give us strength. God, we need you daily. Father, change our desires. Conform our desires to your own. Let our names not be great, Lord, but let us glorify you in all that we do. God, we are thankful and give thanksgiving for this past week with family, for the past week with friends, and just the break from work and from school, Father. God, may your grace abound more to teach us how to be obedient. I ask all these things in your precious and holy name.